Christy, for your introduction and for leading the worship. And I would just like to make this announcement, because it was so that we do it at the beginning of the retreat, and that we do encourage you, like Christy's reading said, to take that time of quiet between. We're not coming to a quiet retreat where we just have a quiet time. We have our times together. But then there are some times in between, and you might not have the chance to have that time at home. So we really encourage you to take the time to let the Lord just minister to you, because that's what we've been praying for, that everyone will be ministered to, not by what we do, but because the Lord is here, and He knows each one's needs and longings. And so that He can come and speak in a personal way. And I also would like to thank all the friends and all those who have been involved, and it's just about everybody, to put together a retreat like this. It's a lot of things, and it's so wonderful in this family of friends here to see how the Lord has put you together with so many different gifts, and then together it works. And so thank you, because there's a lot behind the scenes. And we just want to thank each one. And if you don't understand me, then please raise your hand or something. I don't want anybody to come after the meeting and say, I didn't understand, I couldn't hear. So I'd rather you interrupt and say, you know, whatever, and I'll try to be clear. For those of you who don't know me, I'm from Finland, and that's why I have an accent, so you really have to listen, you know, a little more carefully than Sister Daniela is from Germany, so you have two foreigners here, even though I'm an American citizen now, but I never will lose my accent. And so I don't know how much you have taken in the theme of the retreat, or if you just signed up for the Canaan retreat, but like we sang and our theme song, let your roots grow down into Him. And this is what we will be looking into this weekend, on different aspects. And you know, it's amazing, because we're not given the theme, what we are to bring when we come. So we just ask the Lord to guide it. And I just felt for this, this verse, this Bible verse, really when I read it, it just spoke to me so. And I thought, in these times that are so much turmoil that we go through in often in our lives and in our country and in our world, you know, we need to be deeper rooted so that we can go through the storms. And last year we had the theme of In God's Presence, and we went through the tabernacle, and I thought, how can you ever have anything that's more beautiful than that? In God's presence, it's like you have to stop there, you know, what can you do after that anymore? And then I thought, well, 2 years ago we had Our Eyes Are on You, Lord. And then last year In Your Presence, and then all of a sudden the Lord really spoke to me. And so this is really like a sequence to it, because now it's about rooted in Him. It's about, I don't know, you can't say it like that, but in a human way, you know, we're looking to Jesus, then we're entering His presence in the tabernacle, and now it's even more. It's like we are the temple, and we are to be in Him, rooted in Him, growing deeper into Him, and He in us. I mean, who can understand that? That He wants us now for His dwelling place. And so there are different aspects to this, and we'll go through in the different sessions. And I'm sure what we're going to talk about today, it's just probably a beginning of looking into this theme. But this is what I also would always would like that this is just the beginning for you to discover more, because there is so much more to discover about growing into Him, and we can only touch a little bit. And so that's why we have these beautiful decorations with a tree. And I assume you know what this is supposed to be.
Water.
And so you'll understand that as we go further into the thing. And then here is another representation of what we're going to do later on Sunday morning. And Sister Daniela has something special prepared for us. And so it will be sometimes coming from very different sides, but we're just praying that everything will work together, and you know, it will just flow into each other and just strengthen us for the year ahead, because we all need that. Unless there's someone here who doesn't, but I need it. So we are looking at Colossians 2:7. And this is the New Living Translation that I used in our little song. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. And we're actually just mainly looking at the very first part of the verse right now. And then the middle of the song, where it says, everything we need for life is given through our knowledge of Him. That part of the song we are going to look more into on Sunday. Because that's what it states in the Bible, that everything we need for life we can receive by knowing Him. And I think that's amazing. But it's true, and we need to take hold of that. And so, but today we'll just look a little bit in the roots. And like I said, it was so beautiful for me when I thought, oh no, this is not going like backwards, you know, from the tabernacle and His presence. We're going forward, we're going deeper into Him. He in me, I in Him. And so we want to look at that. And I was, I'll just read a few scriptures to you about Christ being in us. And I think this was our theme in 1 year too, although I wasn't here that year. It's from Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, or another translation says, Christ lives in you. And Galatians 2:20 says, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In me, in you, Christ lives, you know, the second person of the Godhead lives in me, in you. Ephesians 3:17, this is the Amplified. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make His permanent home in your hearts. It's our, you know, we have heard these words, but really to take them in, what it means, it's quite astounding. And us being in Christ, our being in Christ, can you think of any words there? 1 John 5:20. At the very end of that verse it says, and now we are in God because we are in His Son. And the very famous words from John 15, abide in me and I will abide in you. Beautiful promises. If you abide, live in me and stay joined with me, then and their promises.
Everybody, maybe you got all the Bible passages. Could you just repeat the Bible passages?
First, this is from the second part, or from the first part too?
All of them, maybe just
okay. Colossians 1:27b, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 3:17, 1 John 5:20, and John 15:4. And then there's one more, Acts 17:28. This is the most amazing word. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Let your roots grow down into him. So, what do trees have roots for? Why do they need roots? What do the roots do?
Drink water.
Water?
Nourishment.
Nourishment.
Also help them to stand.
Yeah. That's right. And they're supposed to anchor them and keep them steady. And it also protects the tree from pestilence. That's what I read. And the root in the Greek, rizo, means that to be firmly and deeply rooted, so that the tree or the object is fixed, steady, stable, and strong. And we of course know that there are different kinds of roots, but that's not so important right now. There is the one kind where it has one big tap root, and then the small ones, and then there's others that are more spread out. But I'd like to think of us putting that tap root, you know, into the main root, and then we get nourished by some other things too, but the main root going down into him, into Christ, into Jesus. And, you know, what we see of the tree is what's above the earth. But they say there is just as much underneath that we can't see. So we just count on the on what's above. But what it all depends on is the life of the tree. It's really what we can't see. It's the root system. Because if there's no root system, there's nothing above either. Or it's not going to stand anyway. So what is needed for the tree to become strong? You know, and I hear during the year, I picked up on some little stories that were telling about this. So I made a few categories, kind of. And I'm sure it's not a complete picture, but it's just some things that I read about and that I thought, well, those are good examples. Because the roots need to go deep down, right? Deep down, and that to really take hold of the things underneath, to make them steady and so that they're really fixed and standing. And there was a man who was telling in one of these little devotionals that I was reading, he was telling about some redwood tree in California. And during one of these rainstorms, or when they had so much water and flooding, that huge tree just fell over.
Wow.
And he says it was thousands of years old. And, you know, they're very strong tree, redwood trees. And it had survived fires and outlived scores of generations of people. And, you know, they are very, even the fires, they're fire resistant. And they're very strong, and it had stood for hundreds of years. But why did it fall? Well, he said that they found out that the roots were only 6 inches under the ground.
Wow.
A huge tree and only 6 inches under the ground. And I've never seen a redwood tree like that, but they are huge. So, but he says, I do not have the knowledge myself, but he says that that is one weakness of the redwood trees, that they don't have such deep roots. And so it's a picture for us, you know. It needs to go deep down, and it needs to take hold of the rocks down there so that when the storm comes, it won't fall over. And I think it's, I think 1 year we had that too as our theme, Christ being the rock. And so it's a picture of us to take hold of Christ the rock. And then there's a German little song about all my springs are in you. And so I thought, okay, that is again, just the Christ the rock, and all our springs are in him. And so those are the, we need to stretch those roots to really take hold of the rock and reach those springs down there so that they can grow strong. Many people are willing to grow tall or grow broad, but very few people submit to conditions of growing deep. But it's not safe to grow tall unless you grow deep. And that's the part that nobody might see. It's all down there under the earth. But that's where really the decisive growth happens. This is from God Calling. That old devotional where Jesus speaks to two souls and they don't even want to be mentioned because they just want the message that Jesus gave them. Yeah. Remember the lesson of the seed in its sending a shoot down so that it may be rooted and grounded, while at the same time it sends a shoot up to be the plant and flower. The two growths are necessary. Without the strong root, it would soon wither, as much activity fails for lack of growth in me. The higher the growth up, the deeper must be the inrooting. Many forget this, and thus their work ceases to be permanent. And, you know, it's easy to forget. But it's good to take it in again because it might be coming even more storms that we go towards. So let our roots grow deep, deep into the rock of Christ, and drink in from the springs of life. And I like this from, this is really a good little booklet here, Keeping in Touch with God, Mother Basilea, because that's the secret somehow to stay connected with him in our everything that we do. And there she has on page 22, many of you have this book, 22, here with the apples. Do not lose yourself in your everyday work and activities. Rather, lose yourself in God. When you are doing your work, let your innermost heart be centered on him. Then you're doing both ways. Then it's going down and up, or in and out, the work. Live in his presence and abide in him. Then your work will follow you into eternity, and you will reap a rich harvest. This is a really good book to just stay connected with the Lord during the day, you know, because most of us are very busy and we just get pulled in so many directions. Now, here is another little true story. And this one, so the first one was like growing into the depths and hanging on, you know. Mm-hmm. Hanging on, don't let go. Now this one, I'll tell you only afterwards what it is. This is a little story I read in Billy Graham's book, Nearing Home. And he tells about a neighbor who wanted to have a really nice plant at the corner and had, carefully selected a plum tree or whatever it was and planted and did everything that it would grow nicely. But even after some years, the plant was just stunted. And it was frequently sick and attacked by insects and struck with blight. And it would lean until the branches touched the ground. And even though they tried with all kinds of things, nothing helped. It could not stand tall against the elements. And so she complained about it to a friend, and he investigated what that could be. And you know what it was? What? No. It was planted too close to the downspout, so the tree never needed to stretch the roots beyond the, you know, the that was planted. And so the water came easily, and it never had to stretch, and so it couldn't grow. And so for sometimes we just wish, right, that it would be a little easier. It wouldn't be so tough. It wouldn't be so many challenges. But that's, we don't want to be stunted, do we?
No.
Or get sick or fall over. And I thought these pictures are really, you can remember them somehow, you know? Because these are things we like, to have it easy, you know? But if it's too easy, there's no growth. So, we need difficulties and stretching. Stretch a little more, stretch a little more, a little more. But we can't get the most difficult or the longest stretches right away, you know. A little bit, and then we get stronger, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then the roots go down and take hold of the rock. So, my next example is, it's actually from the Biosphere 2 in Arizona. And they did this experiment, and there's this 3-acre glass dome, and the inside it was to be perfect conditions, you know, for growth, and everything was to be organic, and I don't know all the details about it, but I've heard about it, and this example is from there. And so the trees that they had growing inside this dome, they grew faster than normal, and, you know, everything seemed ideal. It was just perfect conditions. You know, in Arizona, things don't grow that fast. Like in Texas, we don't have as much rain as you in Texas. So all of a sudden, these trees collapsed under their own weight. So what happened? Why did that happen? Well, this thing did not say about no roots. It said the researchers eventually came up with the explanation that these trees needed wind stress to grow strong. And in this dome, this glass dome, there wasn't wind. You know, so those things that we think sometimes are so tough and rough, they're good for us. They're actually good for us. And if we are well-rooted, then we can take a lot more standing in the storm. Storm actually strengthens the fiber. And I remember a few years ago in Finland, where my brother lives, he took down a lot of trees on the property, and it's by the ocean, and there's strong winds, and he just left, there were some really, seemed like small, not small, they were tall, but thin. He took down the those that look like Christmas trees, and just left the other kind of evergreens. Anyway, they're more like have a long stem and then the crown up there. What is that?
Pine trees.
And I thought, oh my goodness, when the storm is coming, what's going to happen? You know, now they're not protected anymore by these other trees. And they were going, you know, because now there was all this space around there. But actually, that is what they need to get strong. They get stronger after the storm. And they need that storm to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we want to develop strong roots, then let's take on the storms. It will make us stronger. Without it, it's not going to be that much good, you know. And this is a little bit, so that I called endurance, you know, because you just go like that, you know. Just stick with it. Endure it. That's exercise. That's right, it's exercise. It takes the wobble out of us. It makes us strong to go through the difficulties.
You know, sister, don't tell us.
Yes?
Last year we had the hurricane come through.
You better stand up so they can all hear
you. We had the hurricane come through South Texas, and we had a little cottage down there in Rockport, and the eye of the storm came over our house, basically. And it was fascinating, and to me, I just couldn't believe what I saw, because we had one place where a humongous oak tree that was huge, huge oak tree that was tall as the ceiling, was lifted up out of the ground and smashed. And right next to it was a little olive tree that we planted for our daughter and for a special child. And that tree was just standing right there. But I can just imagine in that storm, that olive tree was just going back and forth and back and forth. And so it's just a good example of that.
And the next one I really like too. This was telling about in the old times when, you know, the ships, when they didn't have all these machines and everything, and they were sailing and they needed a mast, you know, and really the lives of the people on the ship depended on that mast, and so that they could sail and turn and all of that. And you know what they would do? This is what I read. I don't know, but this is what I read that they did. They would, when they needed a new mast, a safe mast that they could really rely on, they would go to some place at the coast. They would, where there was lots of strong winds, they would cut down all the trees around and left one tree standing. Because they needed to really know it was going to be a durable mast and it wouldn't break when the storm came. And then they would leave it up there for several years. And then they knew, okay, now it is really strong and it's going to save the lives and the cargo, you know. And so sometimes, you know, maybe it seems like you're all alone. And the Lord is taking away the support or something. You know, He leads us through those times because He wants us to lean more on Him than on all the other support we have. But it might just be that the Lord wants to use you for something very special. And so He needs to lead you through a time where He takes those other things away to make you strong. And I thought these were really very impressive. A little, it's not stories, they're real life. What do you say? What do you call them?
Illustrations.
Yeah. Because this is what they did. And so it has really spoken to me about, you know, what we're going through. And so I read from you James 1:3-4. For you know that when your faith is tested, what happens then? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We all would like to get there, huh? To be strong. Well, those are the steps we have to go through to become strong. And so the Lord has good purposes when He leads us through some storms or to just make us grow more into Him. And I do want this to be encouraging, and so that you don't just get discouraged by it. But no, he has good purposes for it. And now I would like to pass out this little sheet.
And then you can write on it yourself.
Yeah, if you pass this around.
So we'll get the sheet with a tree.
And now we're going to write in some of the things we're talking about so that you remember them easier. Because, going with different Bible passages, and I don't know, this is just my interpretation right now. There might be a lot of other different ones. So this is, you see, we're only going to touch a few of these roots. You see, there's a lot more, so you can write in all the other things that you speak to you, but we'll just have to start somewhere to get you going. So the roots that need to grow deeper. If you read in Psalm 1, verse 3, he, that's the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. So, what does that say? What kind of root is that? Delights in the law of the Lord. Godliness. That, you know, takes in the word of God. And when it says the law, you know, it's like the Ten Commandments too. Those were the 10 words of life, the 10 words of instruction for life. And that is, that's righteousness, godliness, word of God, just to delight in all these things that we can take in, you know. He will be like a tree planted by the streams. And then in Proverbs 10:30, it says, so you can write that in somewhere on our roof. I started on this side, but you can start wherever you want to, because I wanted to leave the thickest one for a special one that I thought is most important for myself. But you can just write it in there by one of them. Delight in God's law, or godliness, or righteousness, or one of those, you know. And righteousness is such a word that I don't know what you think about it. You don't think so much what it is. But it's just, being right with God, or and honoring his word, delighting in his law, in his word, in who he is. It's all of those things. And so if you do that, then we'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water, maybe even by this waterfall here. Fresh water coming down all the time. And, I hadn't put that into my notes, but the other day when I read in Ezekiel, because that's where I am in my Bible reading, I found this word there, and I thought this is very good, because this is not only, well, I'll read it to you first. It's from Ezekiel 22:30. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall, so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. Rebuild the wall of righteousness. Well, then we have to delight in righteousness, to do our little part to help our country. Mm-hmm. So what a possibility. So the next one is from Psalm 92, and it's verses 12 to 15. And I read from the NIV. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our Lord. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Proclaiming, and now comes the part that I want to hear. Proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness or no unrighteousness in him. Or the New Living says, there is nothing but goodness in him. And you know, this is such an important root that we need to stretch down there, being one with God's will, saying what he does is right. That's what they still sing at the throne in Revelation. He's righteous, you know. He does all things right. And this is really, you know that, all of you who know Mother Basilea's books, that is one of the main things. And that's the highest worship that we can bring, being one with God's will. And I thought it's so beautiful. Kind of defending God, you know, even when we don't understand him. He is right. I don't understand it like Mother Basilea's word. My Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you. You are right. What you are doing is right. So that's an important truth. And now we'll go to the next, so you can write that down, one with God's will. He is right, or whatever you want to write there. Now we'll go to the next one. And this is, this is from Hosea 14. And I love this chapter. I think it is shows God's heart. And if you don't like the word repentance or things like that, you can change your mind when you read this passage. Because it is so beautiful. So I'll read to you from Hosea 14, starting in verse 1. Return, O Israel, or return. You put your own name in there. To the Lord your God, your sins have been your downfall. And we know that our sins is our downfall. But then it goes on like this. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made, for in you the fatherless find compassion. You know, all the Lord wants is that we say, we will not trust in this thing, that thing, or this thing is going to save us, or this is going to... No, all he wants us is to come back and say, forgive our sins. Doesn't even say you have to now... do a lot of penance or anything like that. All he says, come back, return to me. And then it goes on, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. And now comes what it goes with the trees. I will be like the dew to Israel, or to put your name in. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. I think that it's just like all he wants is to us to come back and say, I was wrong, forgive me. And I won't put my trust in all these things. I put my trust in you. And then the Lord just has to shower one promise after the other. You know, will be like the lily that... fruit bring, and the tree of Lebanon, the cedar of Lebanon, and send down the roots, and it's like no end to what pours out from his heart. When we just say, forgive me, I was wrong. It's this chapter is amazing. So that is one, you can call it whatever you want. If you don't like the word repentance, then, but that's what it is. The repentance is just turning back, coming back home, coming back to the Father's heart. That's what it is. And acknowledging that we did wrong. And then he pours out his love and makes us fruitful. And isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So now we come to... So did you write that down? Now comes my biggest root here. The most thick one, but you can put whichever you want there. And this goes from Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, what is it? What are you going to write down there?
Trust.
Trust. And isn't it amazing that we have such a struggle with trusting? We had there's a church in Shea Boulevard shortly before it turned into 40th Street, and they have very good sayings, you know, on their little board, all kinds of good ones. And one was, why trust when you can worry? And that is really often what we do, instead of the other one. You know, we worry and we are offered to trust. But why, you know? But we're all the same. It's like nobody has an easy way of trusting. But we have to grow that root down there, deep, deep down. And this is what I really want to do, especially on Sunday, you know, really to take in who he is, because it is, then it becomes easier to trust. There's another one about the trust. Psalm 52:8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I trust. And it's such an... It honors God when we trust him. To love me is to have confidence in me. It is to rely on me and not to doubt. Let's see, do we have time to read? I wanted to read. Let's see, where did I put it? Up here. This is, I just cut the chapter out, not to take the whole book with me. This is from Sown in Weakness, and I think most of you have it, but pull it out again, because it is so good for these times that we live in. It's really a handbook for end time believers, to strengthen us to go through. As the book of Revelation, this is from the last chapter about the Moriah. As the book of Revelation repeatedly stresses, the believers in the end times above all need to have an unshakable faith, implicit trust in God's love. You did not abandon your faith in me. I know your works, your love and faith. Here is a call for the endurance of faith of the saints. That's from Revelation. Similarly, the letter to the Hebrews urges us to maintain our confidence in the Lord and not to throw away our trust. And I know I said that to you before, but you know, when it says do not throw away your trust, what is it that you throw away? Things that don't seem to work, you think, you know, you throw away. But don't throw away your trust, because it just, even when it seems like it doesn't work, God has the plan. You just need to, he just needs to strengthen your roots. And then the fulfillment will come in his time and his plan. Maybe it's not exactly what you're hoping for, but the best plan. If we have come to know God's loving heart and regard ourselves as nothing in the presence of the Eternal and Almighty, we cannot lose confidence in him. Come what may, we will affirm our unquestioning trust. I don't need to understand God, but I am his child. If we do not lose confidence in the love of God, Satan will never be able to defeat us. Now, isn't that a statement?
Yes.
Will you read that again?
If we do not lose confidence in the love of God, Satan will never be able to defeat us. This is on page 156 in Sown in Weakness. Whether we fail or whether we triumph depends not on our own strength, but on our unity with His will.
Sister Domitila, please repeat again. If you do not lose
confidence, if we do not lose confidence in the love of God.
You're in Texas.
Okay. Thank you. I want you to get it, so I'll be happy to repeat. Also, if we do not lose confidence in the love of God.
How
do you? Pull out your books again. It's page 156.
156.
Satan will never be able to defeat us. If we hold on and don't throw away that confidence because we say, oh, didn't help, it's no use, then Satan can defeat us. But if we hold on to the love of God and trust Him, then He will not be able to defeat us.
Thank you.
Whether we fail or whether we triumph, depends not on our own strength, but on our unity with His will.
Is that not amazing? That is amazing.
Can we hear that one again?
Whether we fail or whether we triumph depends not on our own strength, but on our unity with His will. Mm-hmm. And you know, that takes the pressure off us. All we have to do is put those roots deep down into Him. Sister Daniela. Whether we fail or whether we triumph depends not, who got it? Not on our own strength, but on our unity with His will. I'll read one more sentence here, and then you can pick up the books and read it yourself. Because there are lots more in this chapter. I have just picked out a couple of sentences. As we practice accepting God's will, we shall be released from fear, depression, and despair. And how much of that do we see around us? And so if you put your roots of trust deep, deep into Him, then you can strengthen a lot of people that are in fear, depression, because you say, there's one thing you can do. Give your will to the Lord, trust Him. And the fear and all of that will disappear. You know, sometimes the fear, it doesn't go just away like that. I know one time when it was just like coming over me because I was in a very difficult situation. It was a work situation and it was like there was no way out. And so I was lying in the night. I told you this before too. I was lying in the night and it was just, there's no way. How is this going to be solved? You know, there was just no, humanly there was no way. And I was just saying, my Father, You always have a way. And I kept saying that maybe 100 times before it kind of really put me to peace. And so it's not like you say, oh, Father, I trust You, you know. No, we might have to repeat it many times, but it will come. Yeah. Very much to recommend that.
You have to repeat it before you believe it.
Yeah. You have to tell yourself, you know, David also was encouraging himself. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself and just talk to yourself. Preach to yourself, yeah. Okay, so now we were with the trust. And this next one I couldn't leave away, even though I haven't found a scripture that really goes with trees, but there are lots of other ones. And then I thought, well, we can still do this. And this is, I think, is a root that we need to push down. And that's the focus heavenward. And we will do that a little bit tomorrow night. But this is an important part to do in our times. Look up. Colossians 3:1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And if that's where he is, you know, even if it says, let your roots grow down into him, but if he's there, then we need to focus on there. And I was thinking of to get a tree in here, that's where the tree of life is, you know? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so why do we want to put our whole focus on what's not lasting? We are citizens of heaven. And here is, oh, I didn't tell you the scriptures. Colossians 3:1, 2 Corinthians 4:18, and Philippians 3:20, and here is Philippians 3:13 to 14. Too fast. Okay, where did you lose it?
Second Corinthians 4:18.
The third.
Philippians 3:20. And now is another one from Philippians 3, that's verses 13 and 14. One thing I do. What? Forgetting what is behind and
pressing on.
Pressing forward. I press on toward the goal. And so I think it is an important part of the root system that needs to grow, to focus on the end and not get stuck on the temporary. So, now do you have your five main things there? Or six? Now, I want you to write underneath all of those, I wrote it just down here, the soil to grow deeper into it. And you know what that is? Ephesians 3:17b. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And you know, when you think of it all like trusting, you know, if you have, you press it on into God's marvelous love, then it's not so hard to trust and press down when you're so secure in this love. And all of this, even the repentance loses its thing. It's the Father that we come to, his love. He's standing there with open arms. Come back, come back. So, okay, and then in verse 18, Ephesians 3:18, it goes on, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. 19, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Isn't that nice? I have to look here. Because now I still wanted you to do something on the upper part of the picture. But that's, I think it's so beautiful, you know, that is the soil where all these things are going into, because that changes everything. You know, it's not difficult. It's just letting it all go down into God's love, and we can never understand it. It says how wide, how long and deep it is. No matter how deep we push, we'll never come to the bottom of it. So I was just thinking that as we grow, our roots of delighting in the law of the Lord and living His way, you know, according to the words of life, and as we praise Him, His will, and unite our own with His will, and keep turning back to Him when we fall, and trust and focus on heaven, taking in a deeper way God's love, then there is growth in the tree too, because it always said it grows down and then it grows up. So the growth comes really from growing into Him. And Ephesians 4:13, I have a lot of scriptures, but I love to live with the scriptures. Until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So now I have different scriptures that talk about growth, you know. And so now if you want to write in the first one is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we could have an extra Bible study on each of these, because it is so beautiful, you know, to grow in the grace and knowledge, to know Him. And, you know, we know how it talks in the Bible. I still want to one time do a real study on that, because I think to know God, you know, that's what we are supposed to press on, to know Him. And I think it was it Mary Kay, was it you and one of your sons who picked that word from Jeremiah, or was it somebody else? Well, it was somebody, it was a young, I thought it was you, but it could be somebody else, who had picked that verse from Jeremiah. Let's see, Jeremiah, yeah. But let him who boasts boast of this.
Oh, that's Stephen.
Yeah, I thought it was you. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I am right in these things. If we boast of anything, that's what we should boast of. To know Him and who He is. And when you read in the Amplified about where the other translations just use know, then it's more deeper and personal, you know, a personal understanding of who He is, or to be acquainted with Him and understand Him, to appreciate and cherish Him. So, you know, this is, we'll leave that for another time. But there is a richness. Yes.
Which reference was that?
Jeremiah 9:24. To boast that we know Him. You know, people boast about a lot of things, but who do you hear boasting that they know the Lord? And this is how old was Stephen?
That was his confirmation.
It was his confirmation. Isn't that precious? A young man and his confirmation. This is the scripture he chooses. Yeah. So, what else are we to grow into, or grow, and the branch will grow? 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies craves pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I think that grows too, you know, as we take in more who he is and learn to know him, then that will just, it will be, we will become more and more like him. We'll let him transform us. It's not for us to change ourselves. He will do that. I have to come to an end because we're, it's not too bad yet. So, now there's another branch. Did you get those? Now we have another branch, and that is 2 Corinthians 10:15. Our hope is that your faith continues to grow. And as you press down those roots of trusting in him, your faith will grow. It goes together. It grows down, and then faith grows and comes out. We ought, as 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought always to thank God for you because your faith is growing more and more. More and more. It's not like one time and then it's it. No, more and more. As you press down, out comes more and more faith. And then we have the next branch is love. Philippians 1:9, it is my prayer that your love for one another may grow more and more.
Sister?
Yes?
Could you give each one of those branches its title again, please?
Sure. You can call them what you want to. What I have called them is grace and knowledge of the Lord. Did you have the reference for that? 2 Peter 3:18. And then comes grow in your salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. And grow in faith. 2 Corinthians 10:15. And 2 Thessalonians 1:3. And now we come to love. Philippians 1:9. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And I don't think I read that yet. And that says, and may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other. Isn't that nice? If it would just overflow. It's not like pumping out. And then my last one is patience and endurance. And I read that scripture to you already, James 1:3. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And that's the way we grow our roots down into him, and we grow up into him and become more and more like him. And there is one more growth, and that is not in our tree here. We're going to touch on that tomorrow morning. And so I'll tell you about that tomorrow morning. But I do want to just, because if you think again, oh, this is your work. This is your work. No, it's not about what you to do. It's about, what did we say in the beginning? It's about I in him and he in me. And are you familiar with Jonathan Kahn? He has written some very special book. And in the Book of Mysteries, there is one daily devotion that I noted down. Because he asked that question this is always a conversation with the teacher. And so he is asking, well, how can one live up to the standards of God? And the teacher says, well, one doesn't. And so he's, how come? So the teacher says, well, how could you? Who can live up to the standards of God? The only one who can live up to the standards of God is God. So how do you live the godly life and live up to his standards? There's only one way. So, can you figure it out? You let him live it. It's him, it's not you. It's him through you. It's him living his life through your life, living your life in him. It's like acting together, to move together, to do as one. That's the key. It's impossible for you to live the life of God, but it's impossible for God not to live out his life through you if he lives in you. And this is from somebody else. A great number of souls consecrate themselves to my service. Very few live my life. Most of them live their life while working for me.
Oof.
It is not thus that I glorified my Father. It is not thus that you glorify me. Think of the sacrifices that human love demands. A wife makes the tastes of her husband her own. She gives ways to his habits, adopts his ways, even his thoughts. Should divine love remain below that standard? And I'd like to just close with...
Can you read that first sentence again of that paragraph?
A great number of souls consecrate themselves to my service. Very few live my life. Most of them live their life while working for me. And I would like to close with a prayer by Mother Basilea. It's again from Keeping in Touch with God. Keeping in Touch with God. Jesus, you shall be first in my life. I want to talk with you and work for you. I want to think over everything with you and make all my decisions with you. Nothing shall be done without you, for I do not want to shut you out of my life. Bind me tightly to you, so that nothing, no work, no burden, no other interest, no joy can separate us during this day. So may I constantly live in your holy presence, for you are there. Or we could change that last sentence and say, or so may I constantly live in you and you in me today. And I want to give you one of our dear friends, Lelani. She made, when she heard my theme, and she prays for us during this retreat. She really lives with us during the retreat, and so does Marge Sonar. Who, unfortunately, she had hoped she would be able to come one more time to kind of say goodbye, but she cannot anymore. But anyways, when Delani heard about my theme, she makes a message painting. And it's not a real clear copy, but I thought it would still bless you, and she said I could share it with you. And it's this tree, and then it says, and it's kind of fainted, the printing, but it says, when your storm comes, your roots matter. And Christy, maybe we could sing. Can we still sing? I had wanted to sing that inside song, but maybe it's a little bit too... Is it too difficult, or can we do that?
What's that?
The other one also. But let's sing the theme song first.